He's Mark Potash. I'm Patrick Finley. Potsy coming up. We will talk about the Bears game Sunday against the Patriots and whether it's exactly what they need after two rough weeks. That and more coming up on Alice Intrigue. Potsy, you know the phrase, your last easy day was yesterday. You ever hear that? Ever have a coach scream that at you? Used to have a football coach scream that at me in high school. I think the Bears' last easy day is Sunday, and that is a home game against a Patriots team that were the season to end today. They'd have the number one pick in the draft. Is there a potential for a little banana in the tailpipe here, or what are you feeling about this game?
You mean, is it possible that they could lose?
Yes.
Yeah, oh yeah, sure, the way they're going, they're capable of anything. But no, I think this is a good spot for them. For the Bears, because this is a game that they should win. They'll be at home. They should get Montez Sweat back, which I think was a big issue last week. So, yeah, I think this is their opportunity. But the only thing is, it's a no-win situation for the Bears, big picture-wise, because if they win, they just did what they held serve. They did what they're supposed to do. And there's hardly any way this can really be an indicator of better things to come. Because then it's just the same old thing that Trubisky and Fields didn't have a big game against a weaker opponent.
Right.
And, you know, you're still going to hit the wall still there. So no matter what happens this game, they've got to take a step up following. That's when it all starts. It's kind of exciting, actually, that they have this six games in eight stretch in the division. This is weird. I think it was Cole Kmet was joking about the whole idea of a must-win. Because every game is a must-win, and I kind of get that from their perspective. But this is a must-win.
Yeah.
If the Bears don't win this game, I don't think they're going to go anywhere. Because what are the odds that they would crap out against a team like the Patriots and then all of a sudden become this great team against all the division teams? No. So, yeah they kind of have to win just to keep going.
Yeah. I know you said that there's really no benefit of the doubt that they can earn on Sunday. But I do think that if the offense looks functional – and dare I say explosive, that does give you reason for, I mean, you're going to walk into the Packers game a lot more optimistic than you would if the Bears beat the Patriots, 13-10, right?
Well, it's always better to be good than bad, Pat. I will agree with that. But I think the overriding thing there is that would be it would remind me too much of like good games against the Lions, Matt Patricia's Lions, or the Buccaneers. Yeah. Those were great games. Yeah, it was great that they did that instead of 15-12, but it still didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So so you're right that it would be it's better to, for them to have big games, but I would still say that's not going to say that not going to say that much.
You don't think the offense is at a point where, if they can find answers this week, that could portend good things. That's kind of the point I'm making if the offense scores 24 points and looks smooth and
looks
a little different, that is something to build on, right?
I guess it could, but I'd have to see it to believe it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the wisdom of a man who's been at Hallis Hall
too many times.
Potsy, this week. Somehow, I mean, I found the Sunday loss more disturbing than the Hail Mary.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because they were thumped across the board.
Well, I mean, sorry to interrupt, but I mean, the whole point of that was they lost two games earlier in the year, but that was just pretty standard. That was, losing to the Colts after losing to the Texans was no kind of indicator, no red flag or anything. It was just, they could have won. That was bad. But this game, the entire focus of this game was responding. It was all about, we're going to show you who we are. We're going to show you our mental toughness. We're going to show you our resilience. And they crapped out. I mean, I'm sorry to say it, but that's just what. So this was a much, I agree 100%. This was a much, the other one was a fluke. You play that game 10 times, they win the other 9. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
But this was no fluke. This was a team that knew it had to respond to a bad game and said they were, and then
You mentioned Kmet. Kmet said yesterday that back when Cole played baseball, that his grandpa would go to games and they talk about how when you lose a 1-0 game, that hurts a lot more than when you get killed. Is there a sense in your mind, Potsy, that they're going to be able to bounce back from a game, and kind of as ironic as it sounds, it'd be easier to bounce back from getting their butts kicked than it was from a game that they were an inch away from winning.
I mean, they're kind of on tilt, but not like they were the week, you know, not like they were going into last week. Yeah, yeah, the resilience they have to show, it's not as tough a hurdle mentally as this week as it was last week, no doubt about it. That's why one of the reasons I think they're going to win, and I think they're going to play better, because they're just kind of over it. It's not as, like I said, not as big a mental hurdle. Hail Mary like that is, especially the way it happened and with the Tyreek Stevens thing, that was a really low moment.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how broken do you think this offense is right now? But 10 being the most broken, I'll be more specific.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I got to go 5. I don't...
Really?
Okay. because it's just too small of a context. It's hard to say. I'd have to think about it, to tell you the truth. I do wonder, you know, what they're doing, if they're getting anywhere, if they're making any progress. They just seem to have issues that the quarterback isn't as good as a prospect as he is, isn't good enough to overcome. But, yeah, protection issues. They have issues getting guys open. They have connection, chemistry issues. You know, for a team that was built to really give the quarterback a nice cushion, they're showing hardly any of it. What they're doing is they're leaning on a quarterback that they didn't want to have. The whole purpose was to not lean on him,
right.
And they're leaning on him, and he's just not good enough at this point to put this offense on his shoulders. And even when he escapes the pocket, you know, and he's got can make a play that all those other great quarterbacks, he just isn't. This offense just isn't ready. He's not ready to do it, and the offense is. So off the top of my head, I would say 5 because we just haven't seen enough to know, but it's not good. It's a red flag to me with the way they played the last 2 weeks on offense.
This is the offense that that gave DJ Moore a giant contract at the beginning of the year. This is the team that traded for Keenan Allen and is paying him $24 million. This is the team that used a first round pick on Rome Odunze, and the whole point was for Caleb Williams to just play point guard, just give him the ball. Just the act of doing that is not shored up by any stretch. Yeah. Cole Kmet, you know, playing on a $4-year, $50 million deal, he gets zero targets on Sunday. DJ Moore, when they throw to him, DJ's running a route that's different than the route that Caleb is throwing for. These are kind of basics that should be smoothed out by now, right?
This offense, I was going to say, relative to the supporting cast or the with it, but I even regardless of that, this offense looks every bit like all the other offenses we've seen here in the last 8 years,
right?
You know, since Mitch, they look no better, maybe I don't know, no worse, but they look no better or no more, you know, well conceived or you know, in sync or whatever than any other offense. So they just have better talent.
And I do think they have
a better quarterback.
They have a potential to get a lot better.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's the saving grace of all the everything that's happened. Pat has been the same thing. In fact, I was saying last week. I get tired of saying it, but the difference with what anything that happens here, the difference is they have a quarterback. Mm-hmm. They have a better quarterback prospect, and the quarterback has better a better support system, and the defense is as good, or except for the 2018 team. Is better and as good as advertised, although last week not. So how often can you say that? I mean, I don't know.
How often do you say it before it loses its meaning? Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So it's an interesting time. But.
Did you real quick? We'll go through the news of the week and we'll get to our picks and all of that, but. Trade deadline came and went Tuesday, Potsy. I don't think either of us were surprised that the Bears did nothing that they did nothing to add. Trading Khalil Herbert for a 7th-round pick, is that I interpreted that as doing Khalil Herbert a solid more than it was doing something for the betterment of the franchise.
Yeah, giving him an opportunity, a 7th-round pick, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt you, I guess.
Are you okay with that, or would you have kept him around?
Well, I'm okay with that. I mean, that was their decision. They drafted Roshan, and they still believe in him, and he's been somewhat productive in short yardage. So let's see what happens. The interesting thing, you know, I compared the Herbert situation to Mooney's because they're both like mid to late round guys drafted by Ryan Pace, who overachieved and became really productive. And if you look at Herbert's record, he was very productive in the previous offense. And let's see how he does in a Bengals Zach Robinson offense. You know, a a McVay protege, the Bears.
Zach Taylor, not Zach Robinson. Zach Robinson's.
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
in Atlanta.
Okay. Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But still yeah. The same.
Same
idea. It is Zach Taylor offense, and let's see how it's the same as Mooney did with Zach Robinson, right?
Yes.
And Mooney has done very well. He's much better than his overall Bears numbers, but unbelievably better than last year. It'll be interesting to see how Herbert does in a different offense that's kind of the same, built the same or whatever. So I'm curious to see that. But I wish him the best. Nice guy. And like Mooney, we were kind of rooting for Mooney last year because we felt like it was a tough deal for him. Same way with Herbert. We'll see how he does. Everybody talks about David Montgomery and stuff like that, making the decision there. But, they're not worse off. They're running back. Swift is very good. So I can't say, that was a bad decision. It might turn out that picking Roshan, I guess, in effect, over as your second back, your complimentary back over Herbert would be wrong. But, that happens all the time.
Zach Robinson and Zach Taylor, two of the only men on the planet who spell their name Z-A-C.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I got it confused.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I'm bailing you out here.
Thanks.
Andrew Billings had pec surgery on Thursday. He's going to be out for the year. Boy, the minute you hear a chest or pec, whenever there's an injury update, that's usually going to end poorly.
That was the downfall of Danny Trevathan, right?
Yeah, it was. But this is really, really bad news for the Bears' running defense, correct?
Yeah, but in a weird way, I think even Andrew Billings would say he wasn't having the year this year that he had last year. I mean, their run defense was not very good with Andrew Billings. So I'm not saying that Zach Pickens or someone else would be better, but it's not as much to, it's not like losing Khalil Mack in his prime.
Right.
Because as good as Andrew Billings was, it wasn't, I don't think he was having his best season. So I don't think it's going to be, as big a hole to fill as it would have been a year ago. But still, the last thing they need. I mean, look what their rush defense did when Sweat and Billings were out. And, so we'll see what happens. They always talk about next man up and their depth. And this is a guy who 2 years ago was expected to be the starter, I think, this year, right, when he was drafted, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Pickens and Dexter were kind of the, supposed to be the two guys in the middle. So here we are, and we'll see if he's there or not.
Physically, nobody on the Bears looks quite like Andrew Billings, just in terms of
build
and body shape. So it's going to be different either way. As we sit here, Potsy, Braxton Jones working his way back at left tackle. He seems more likely to play than Darnell Wright does. They both have knee injuries. How much concern do you have for this Bears O-line this week and then kind of moving forward? I know you chart how many unique offensive lines the Bears have had. What is it, every two games? It's something.
Yeah, they've had 20. They've now had 21 different starting lineups in 42 games. So
that's remarkable.
That is a lot, and over 50 different combinations, including in-game change. It's just been the continuity has just not been there, and there's nothing you can do about that. And part of it is because they're rotating guys because they don't have answers. There's always two guards or whatever. Rotate. So that's part of the problem.
A pair and a spare, Potsy. Pair and a spare, right? Isn't that what he says? Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, Pitt. But anyway, no continuity and also just not good enough. Even at their best, the offensive line is just hasn't been good enough. And so, protection issues and, it could be, is it the quarterback? Is it the line? Is it the scheme? The running backs, whatever. It's just, Caleb Williams has been sacked 29 times this year, and their sack percentage with him is, I think I mentioned it today when we were talking to Waldron, is much higher than in any year Waldron had in Seattle. So that's, when somebody's offense is not as good as it was in one offense and another, to me that raises the eyebrows, and you wonder, wow, what is it here that's just not working? So, to answer your question, offensive line is a huge concern because it just hasn't been good enough.
My first year covering the team was Mark Trestman's first year. Every offensive lineman, or I'm sorry, they had the same starting offensive line in every single game.
And were second in the league in scoring.
Yeah, not coincidentally, they had the league's second best offense.
As I always point out, Chris Morgan, their offensive line coach, the only year he's ever had every starting lineman, his quarterback or their quarterback was the MVP of the league, and the Falcons went to the Super Bowl.
Matt Ryan, yes.
And lost the Super Bowl, as we mentioned before on this podcast, if I remember correctly. Lost the Super Bowl pretty much because they finally started losing two offensive linemen. So it was totally correlated. Their continuity in the offensive line to their success, all the way right to the very end when they had that golden opportunity, first and 10 at the 18 or whatever, and went backwards.
28-3, was that the score?
Yeah, at one point it was, yeah.
Potsy, let's get to our picks. Team Sun Times is united in picking the Bears, which is scary in and of itself. Jason Leisure's got him 2016. Scoop Jackson, 30-21. Tellender, 21-19. Close game. Morrissey, 24-14. I've got him at 24-13. Potsy, you're at 23-16. We're all roughly in the same area, but you tell me why 23-16.
Well, I will say that, and I'm probably not alone in this, it's almost, there's like a tinge of skepticism in those picks, or pessimism, whatever. It's like, this is so typical of the Bears. You know, they're going to win this game. After two bad weeks, they're going to win this game, get everybody thinking, oh, now they're back, and then here come the Packers, and who knows. So, I almost had to pick them, you know, because it's just, they've done this so many times, and so yeah, I just think they're more. I think their motivation is greater. I think they're at home. I think they're playing a team that they can beat. So I think the combination of all those things, and like you pointed out, they don't have quite the big mental hurdle that they had before coming off of the Hail Mary. I just think they're the better team, and they're still a good team, and they still have the makings of a good team. So in situations like this, they can certainly take care of business. And 23-17 is, or 60, whatever, that score has almost been my default score in a Bears game this year. This is a 23-17 type of team.
Say this about losing two in a row. I don't think there's any fear about them looking ahead to Green Bay. And I think in a normal season, maybe you'd sit there and say, boy, got to be careful you don't look past the Packers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not a trap game.
Yeah, it's not a trap. The Bears have been stuck in a trap for 2 weeks. It's not a trap game. Potsy, we will talk about the game on Sunday evening. But until then, people can follow you and me and Jason Leisure on social media. Check us out at the Sun-Times website or on the app. And if you live in town, buy a paper. He's Mark Potash. I'm Patrick Finley. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.